Players in financial markets are betting big money that Greece cuts a deal with its creditors, if not today, then soon. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The stock exchange in Athens was up about 7%. The DAX in Germany up more than 3% this afternoon, European time, with Greek leaders meeting with their European counterparts in Brussels today. Let's check in with Quincy Crosby, market strategist at Prudential Financial. Good morning, Quincy.
Good morning.
Now, our reporting suggests that while there's optimism among some creditors, it would be premature to say that Greece has a deal in the bag. But people in the markets seem to be persuaded that there will be a deal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the markets have been just going crazy overnight around the world on the presumption that a deal is in the offing. And then there were suggestions, no deal. But a very senior member of the Eurozone group has actually come out and said they expect to see a deal finished by the end of the week. And this just has markets just roaring.
We are connected to Europe and would be presumably affected by shockwaves if Greece were to fall out of the Eurozone. But we do have our own big economy. And what do we know about our economy as we officially enter summer here?
The housing market numbers have actually been a bright spot. First-time buyers are coming into the market, and we need first-time buyers. So today we'll get the existing home sales, and what we hope is it continues to show that the housing market is gaining the kind of momentum we need.
Indeed. Quincy Crosby at Prudential Financial, thank you for the briefing.
Thank you so much.
For further perspective on Europe and its debt, we turn to Mark Blyth, a professor of political economy at Brown University and author of the book Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
So as we speak, market participants are betting that there will be a deal, possibly today. Greece will get more money and will stay with the euro. Is that a good outcome from your point of view?
Well, given all the catastrophe scenarios that have been flying around as what happens if they default and leave, then yes, it's good. But we have to think about what's actually going on and what's been going on since 2010. Bankers call this extend and pretend. You have an entity which is insolvent. It can't pay its debts. So the creditors give it more money that it then gives back to them. So if we look at the current resolution, they've been bickering about $2 billion here or there. But essentially it comes down to this. You owe me about $4.5 billion by the end of August. How about I lend you $7 and you give me most of it right back? Which pretty much sums up what they've been doing with Greece since 2010.
So if this keeps going like this, it still hasn't answered a fundamental question for people in Greece, which is how do they bring growth back to that economy?
Oh, absolutely. And this is where the catastrophe narrative really comes through. Over 60% of the contraction in the Greek economy, which has cost them nearly a third of GDP, has come from misguided policies. They cut too far, too fast on an economy that's too reliant on government spending. So when they did all their fiscal consolidations, they shrunk the economy and the same stock of debt got bigger rather than smaller. So if you take the total sum of the bailouts, $249 billion, 200 of that went right back to the creditors. Only 50 went to the economy at the same time as the economy was in free fall. This is just doing the same daft stuff over and over again without changing the recipe.
It's a conundrum, though, because there are other countries in the Eurozone that are not in terrific fiscal shape, and they'll be watching the example of Greece very closely.
What they care is a kind of Syriza effect taking hold across the other indebted countries, such that the whole European project and the very real costs and pains which has endured over the past 5 years on these populations, that's what they're worried about comes home to roost.
Mark Blyth is a professor at Brown University. His book is Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
He said Syriza effect there. Syriza is the left-wing party that came to power in Athens at the beginning of this year. Those going to the U.S. State Department's website looking for a travel visa, travel.state.gov, there it is, you'll see a message saying the department's having technical trouble. This has been going on and is putting possibly thousands of visitors and summer workers on hold, Gigi Duban reports.
The State Department says more than 100 computer experts are working around the clock to fix the glitch. But Nathan Sales, who teaches law at Syracuse University, says he's not optimistic it'll be resolved quickly.
If you're the State Department and your visa processing system goes down, well, you're not going to go out of business. And there's no real accountability mechanism by which foreign citizens who'd really like to come visit family members or go to Disney World can hold you accountable.
Sales says it's unfortunate any time of year, but it's especially tough during peak travel season.
If people aren't able to come to the United States because of a technological glitch on our end, that's going to have some, you know, real impact on our tourism industry.
Not to mention the potential effects on agriculture, which relies on migrant workers. Arnold Heyman teaches national security at George Washington University.
This is the time of year when there's a lot of work that needs to be done that you can't wait. It won't happen if the crops go bad.
The State Department says it's giving priority to farm workers. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And the reaction to Swift has been swift. Apple recently launched its new streaming music service and won't charge for the first 3 months. Apple figured since it's free at first, it shouldn't have to pay royalties to record companies and musicians during that period. In an open letter yesterday, mega artist Taylor Swift said this was wrong and said she'll keep her best-selling album off of the new service if this doesn't change. Apple caved. Here's its tweet. We hear you at Taylor Swift 13 and indie artists love Apple. Now that her clout has been demonstrated, people have been tweeting about other things that Taylor Swift should demand, like iPhones with longer battery life. Now, if Apple is going to use its deep pockets to fix a big social problem, may I suggest setting the sights higher? World hunger, tropical disease, affordable housing? You'll have your list as well. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.